your fault. Baby, it's not mine. Not a chance we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you see it coming, no time to beg out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, there'll be no doubt when you see you are right smack dab in the middle of it. Right smack dab in the middle. We are right smack dab.
Secret truth. Through forgiveness we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom.
Welcome back to the Secret Truth Hour 2. I want to thank Paul Williams and especially Charlotte Littlefield for being with us. Charlotte added a great deal of insight and enthusiasm and interest to our program. Paul Williams spoke on the Operation Gladio, his latest book out, and you've got to look into that Gladio dynamic there that came out of his expose over there in Italy. But it were false flag operations run by intelligence operations within the NATO group, and then Condor was a similar program that was run throughout Central and South America. So this is something to really take note of. In addition, go to our site, thesecrettruth.com, and you're going to find some additions that I placed up there. And one is very important. It has General Michael Hayden, former NSA director, National Intelligence Director, speaking about cybersecurity at Washington Lee College, right there outside of Washington, D.C. in Lexington. And that's very interesting. I also added to our site some other news items, and one should take note of Fukushima. I realized in my studies of the Davos meetings there at the World Economic Forum that Japan has one of the largest by percentage of the gross domestic product of any nation in the world. So I believe the Fukushima, they blacked it out for America and much of the world, the danger of it, to keep the economic viability of Japan intact. And so that's what I'm seeing in my analysis there. Greece just went over to Syriza, a new political party. It would be to the left. It brought in a special economic advisor, a foreign financial minister that had been teaching here at the University of Texas. Scroll down there on thesecrettruth.com and you can read all about that. Is the debt crisis in Greece a warning to us? The Concord Coalition was put together by Pete Peterson and other men that felt like this: the major problem and the danger of America is a horrendous debt. And this debt would be, right now it's 17 to 18 trillion, but that's not all of the promises and so forth on Social Security and Medicare and all these other new things that have been committed, but it's well over 25 to 30 trillion dollars. And do we really have that money? Anat Amadi testified over in Switzerland at the Davos meeting that we've still got problems with the debt, and there are many financial institutions that are not solvent. So what are we going to do there? Now, in Argentina, that's a special interest, too. They've been trying to fend off these Paul Singer's company, Elliott Management, out of New York, which has perfected a judgment against them into the billions of dollars, and they're trying to fend that off. Recently, there was a prosecutor that was turned up dead. They said suicide, but we're not believing that anymore, that's for sure. The Ukraine, my gosh, we've got multi-billionaires that have made money. This is a personal, you know what I mean, irritant or little resentment of mine, you could say, is that here we have opened up our borders to internationalists that can come here. They can set up these web companies in California, like PayPal and other things. They can make a fortune. And then they can take that fortune and then they can throw in with the politically, economic, financial elite of the world and devise more ways like Panetteer to enslave us. And that's one of the corporations that Peter Thiel has created, Panetteer. And Panetteer, I believe, is a name for the seeing stones in Lord of the Rings. So, we're going into this occult stuff and this Lord of the Rings and stuff to draw upon some of the techniques that they're beginning to use to just lock down the whole world and get intelligence on everyone and create an electronic prison or some kind of a space fence or something like that. It's very, very discouraging to see these men that have made billions from free enterprise, by the way, and through capitalism, by the way, and then turn that money into subjugating us to a slave state. Matt Taibbi recently left some of the publications he had been recruited into, and after reading some of his articles and stuff, he stands on truth, and that's probably why he left those publications that had recruited him in to work for them. We have another click off there called The Teenage Brain by Dr. Jensen, Frances E. Jensen. She's a fine MD and writer and author of this book, and it was co-written by Frances E. Jensen and Amy Ellis Nutt, N-U-T-T. 358 pages long. I highly recommend it. It talks about the young brain, you know what I mean? The underdeveloped brain. And she's saying, very simply put, through the studies that they've done and so forth, that a young brain has not been fully developed, thus it does not have the wisdom and judgment, and thus it enters into more risky assumptions and activities than an older brain would. So this is some very, very interesting, writings to look at and to contemplate. About, hey, what is really going on here with these younger brains? And I would suggest out there, if there's some young girl out there that's in a journalism class in one of these high schools, why don't you take note and go out and buy yourself and get your parents to buy this book for you, The Teenage Brain. Review it, read it, review it, and write a good book review in your student newspaper. I think you would do more good for your fellow students and the population here at large in the Austin Independent School District and the surrounding area that listens to us than any other thing that you could do. Because then you would really be ministering to your fellow students in a very, very a loving way and explaining to them some of the problems of being young and having an underdeveloped brain. Now, it's not underdeveloped yet. It's just still in the process of being developed. And sometimes the full development of the brain takes into the late 20s, according to Dr. Jensen. David Petraeus, you know, his former CIA director, is still having trouble. They're not sure what they're going to do with him. There is a new foundation, the New America Foundation. It's a think tank, and it's run by Jonathan Soros and others. George Soros' son is intimately involved in this new foundation. And what they've been able to do with these, there's new everything, new politics, new economics, new this, new that. And then what they do is they entangle the new members and the supporters of this new foundation into a very, very high-minded, intellectualized debate and argument and exploration of these new things. What I see that has happened over the decades here, especially when you're talking about higher education colleges and universities, whether they're here or they're in other countries. There's a certain curriculum of Western thought and Western thinking and Western financial and Western economics and so forth. So they created a tremendous number of these boxes of disciplines that they've studied. And so in this system of curriculum and conditioning and education, they've come out with a bunch of secular humanist kids with educations. They think they have educations, but they're not really educated. They've been educated and conditioned into a way of thinking that is very, very helpful for someone at a much higher level to manipulate them from. And but that doesn't mean that they can't attain a much higher level of understanding. Last month, the Charlie Hebdo attack is proving more and more every day to have been a false flag operation, probably government run from a black operation basis, deep level. I also have up here on thesecrettruth.com an excellent video of Dr. Gassner. Well, he's the author. What's interesting is that when you listen to Hour 1 today with Paul Williams and his book on Operation Gladio, and then look at this video here, and then go in and get that book also from Gassner. And with those two books and this video and so forth, you're going to have an excellent idea of what Gladio is all about. And even Dr. Gassner, in this interview, a one-on-one interview, covers the waterfront. Now, there's a lady here on our site also that I put a video up on, and her name is Cheryl Atkinson, a fine lady. And you know what? Charlotte Littlefield measures up to her in every way. Charlotte Littlefield is not as well known as Charlotte Atkinson, because Charlotte Atkinson broadcasts the national media, but Charlotte Littlefield stands on truth and has principles. And that's why we've been together as long as we have, over 8 years broadcasting The Secret Truth. She's going to be more often on the program, so that's something to take note of and start listening to us, especially when she's on, because she adds a lot of fire to our program, that's for sure. Also, there's a man that's being extradited from Argentina, a Kurt Sonnenfeld. And Kurt Sonnenfeld, okay, was a photographer, videographer working for FEMA at the time of the 9/11 event attack. And so he was called up by his supervisor that morning while it was still going on. He said, get ready to fly in. They were all based out of Colorado. And he told Sonnenfeld, he said, get ready to fly into New York City. We've got to go through there and take photographs and document what happened there at ground zero, you know, at 9/11. I'm leaving up on the site some other videos from the debates there in Davos. One of them would be called the Global Financial Stability Debate and so forth. There's so much going on out here this week that it's hard to even contemplate everything. We've had exposés recently of the Benghazi. There was a back channel operation from the Pentagon to Gaddafi's son. Now, what was all that about? That meant that they were Gaddafi's son was saying, why is the State Department under Hillary Clinton continuing to attack us along with the CIA when we've done nothing wrong? And she's imagining some kind of a genocide that's just about to happen but never really happened. But we've pretty well concluded now that Gaddafi was beginning to be the leader of the African nations, you could say, the continent, the African continent. And most of the African leadership there was looking to Gaddafi for future leadership. And he wanted the dinar. He wanted to go back that. He had a large wealth of oil. He had the Chinese in there also working. Those oil interests is what some of our interests, our oil interest companies did not like. And so that didn't really go down that well with any of these leaders. And so as a result, they just said, well, you're out of here. You know what I mean? Now, one of the recent things that happened, just it broke yesterday or a couple of days ago. Yeah, 2 days ago. Brian Williams, you could say he is a reporter there, the anchor for NBC News. It just broke there that he had lied about one of his incidents, an incident in Iraq when he was embedded as a reporter, and he described going in and almost feeling like he was going to die and they were surrounded and all this other count in Iraq. And so it's come out lately, just recently, that the whole thing that he presented and was talking about for years that built his image, you know, to be this big broadcaster and anchor for NBC was a big lie, you know. The pilot of the helicopter he was on said, well, we didn't get there to the end. There was a helicopter in front of his that went in, and there that helicopter drew fire from the ground and had was forced to land. But that helicopter was 1 hour ahead of the helicopter that Brian Williams is in. And he told this story over and over. Just recently, a few weeks ago, he was talking about feeling like he was going to die and all this. So he's a liar. I mean, he's gone from the anchor. He's not going to be there probably much longer. It's just too much, you know, lie going on there. And he can't maintain. And then there were stories that came out of Katrina that Brian, you know, Williams had. So it doesn't look good for the man. He's not going to make it. You know, you're a liar. A liar is a liar. I mean, you know, Brian Williams, I'm sorry. You lied your way out of, into the job and out of the job. You know what I mean? We're seeing this oil thing is beginning to firm up a little bit lately, I've noticed. And it's just in the last, I'd say, week and a half, 2 weeks, we've seen a firming up around the 50 level, $48, $50 level. I haven't checked it today, and we're looking at Saturday here on the 7th of February today. But it looks like it's firming up, and it may find there was a support level at about 32, but that would be a very strong support for crude oil, and it looks like that we're going to end up with a support level somewhere right in here. I don't know if it's going to go any lower or not. The indications are that it's finding support at around the $48 to $50 per barrel level. We have other things in the news. The lunch program that Michelle Obama has put out is, boy, people just don't like that at all. We've got, you know, the Israelis, not Netanyahu stated recently, in the last day or so, that his people were under the impression that they were invited by both the Democrats and the Republicans in the U.S. House by Boehner, you know, Boehner, the Speaker of the House. And it's sort of called coming out now that maybe just the Republicans invited them over, and the Democrats didn't, see. So that's a little bit of a change. He's going to come anyway, because he's really has gotten mad at Obama. Obama is mad at Netanyahu. Obama has not done the bidding of the AIPAC and the Zionist in attacking Iran, because he has not attacked Iran. Then Obama's in for some rough sledding here between now and the end of his term. And AIPAC and all these people can make it pretty rough on him. And I think they're going to turn and just spit him out, you know, I mean, eat him up. I mean, they're going to give him a tough time. And especially now that this rift has occurred between Netanyahu and Barack Obama, Barack Obama is not going to win that deal. Now we have Lester Crown being a high level Zionist over in Chicago, along with Valerie Jarrett being closely allied together through the commercial club and all these friendships over there. So those are the people that have been behind Obama's good fortunes and his political supporters for a long time. It's just that in the last couple of years, he has not done their bidding on Iran, and they wanted an attack on Iran, and he didn't do that. I've been saying this for a long time, and finally, I believe it's going to come true that he's not going to come out on top of this. We could face impeachment. Now, when you say, why would they do that? They would do it to smear his presidency more than anything. They cannot remove him because they don't have the votes in the Senate to do it, even with the recent majority there acquired by the Republicans. But they can still have impeachment charges voted on in the House that would be approved. They could go over to the Senate. They could have a trial. Now, the trial would bring out all of this dirty laundry than and Obama with Fast and Furious and all these other things that Eric Holder and them have done together. There's just a lot of illegal actions there that could be brought up in this impeachment, these impeachment hearings, even though the impeachment charges have to be specific, see. But they only require additional charges, only require a simple majority. So it's possible that they could bring impeachment charges on him, but not knowing full well that it could not, they could not enjoy a final vote and secure a final vote as far as the vote would be needed in the Senate. But just enough of bringing all these charges and dirty laundry out there would smear his presidency, and he might back off and might even resign before they got to some kind of an impeachment process. I want to thank everyone for listening and supporting us at The Secret Truth. And we're going to be coming up here in less than a minute with the replay, the rebroadcast of the second hour. And that second hour we talked about that big, gigantic spacecraft that was seen by many in the Stephenville area. And when Charlotte and I drove into the parking lot that day before the interview, there was a Department of Defense car there with no one unoccupied. So they were there. We did our recording. We'll have it up along with this hour, the second hour, on thesecrettruth.com. But thank you very much for listening and being loyal listeners and supporters of The Secret Truth. And boy, we bless each and every one of you out there in the listening audience, and we certainly appreciate each and every bit of truth that you're trying to establish and that you're standing on, because Charlotte Littlefield and I stand on truth. That's for darn sure.
And now our co-hosts, Charlotte Littlefield and George Butler.
Welcome to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler along with
Charlotte Littlefield Brown.
Well, I'll tell you what, we've got a heck of a good program tonight. We're broadcasting live from Brave New Books at 1904 Guadalupe Street. It's down underneath the Chase Bank here on Guadalupe Street in the University of Texas area. And boy, do they have a lot of good books here, don't they, Charlotte?
Absolutely. I also have a good speaker this evening.
Now, who spoke tonight?
Jim Mars is in the house.
And you know, right when he got to Stephenville, they cut him off on the,
yeah,
on
yep,
the stick cam.
They were doing a web broadcast, on stick cam, and apparently that's one of the signal drops.
Yeah, tonight we have a fine guest. His name is Steve Allen. He's from the Stephenville, Glen Rose area. And there were some sightings up there around January 8th, I believe, of this year. And Charlotte and I went up there, and Charlotte actually interviewed Steve Allen personally in his office. Welcome to our program, Steve Allen.
Hey, how y'all doing? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, okay. Good to talk to you, Steve. Let's put your website. I think it's your website. Is your are you affiliated with the Stephenville Lights website?
Yes, I'm part of it. We lost our webmaster, going through a little change there. We should get it updated shortly. There's a lot of new developments up here.
Well, let's give that out to the listening audience. That's StephenvilleLights.com?
Correct, yes.
And that's Stephen with a PH, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
Good to hear from you, Steve.
Hey, y'all. So cold in Austin tonight?
It just got cold. It was 70-some degrees. I was running around in a T-shirt, and now we need winter jackets.
Yeah, now look.
Jim Mars was speaking here tonight at Brave New Books. We're broadcasting remote here, and right when he got to Stephenville, the stick cam went blank on us.
Which I don't know if anybody knows, his most recent book, Above Top Secret, has a chapter devoted to the Stephenville incident, to your incident. Steve, were you aware of that?
Yes, I've heard about that. I need my copy of the book. As a matter of fact, I've heard it's quite good.
Yo, he writes well. Reading Jim Mars is like drinking a good cup of coffee.
Tell us what happened up there on January 8th, Steve.
We was outside of town, Stephenville area, about 5 miles east. It was about 6 o'clock in the afternoon. Several friends, including a mail delivery man and I myself, joined out there and was just out there enjoying the sunset, kind of first decent day we'd had in a long time. It's been real cold. And looked off to the east, and you could see four sets of lights coming at us very quickly, probably about 2,000 foot off the ground and probably a half a mile away from us. It's the closest point it got to us. And it went over Stephenville, and it kind of, all the lights in the rear was real bright, intense magnesium, you know, it was brighter than anything we'd ever seen. And close to us also, might add. So they went over Stephenville, and they changed their configuration, kind of an arch shape, and then it went to a 7-0 flashing light vertical and for 2 or 3 seconds, and then two more sets of lights vertical, and then it looked like kind of a flame come out of all the lights. Very unusual, real bright, too, real close to us. And then it just simply disappeared. It didn't streak off or anything. And it was totally silent. Couldn't hear anything. It was that was what was very unusual. You know, no noise, which made us obviously know it wasn't an aircraft, especially at the speed it was traveling. About 10 minutes later, we got a phone call from the mail carrier. He kind of it changed him or whatever, and he just left. And he called through telephone contact. He says it's coming back, and we went back outside. And it came back by from the west to the east and had two F-16 jets chasing it, same course, same altitude, same heading. Had their afterburners on, and they was only about 1,500 foot above the ground. And they wasn't having any luck catching it, and so we watched them go off over to the east. You know, it was quite flat in that area, so we could see, we had good visibility. You know, it was real clear outside. And from the rest of that is history. I called the newspaper the next day. Actually, I called the airport, and they checked with Fort Worth Tower and couldn't find any, you know, any activity, or they wouldn't tell us anything. And called the newspaper and talked to Angela Joyner, and so she asked if she could write a story, and so she did. And then the next day, lots of calls started coming in. There's numerous witnesses, including a constable, Leroy Gayton, machinists, several business owners, you know, around the area. So,
well, Steve, you and I had we met and we had a long interview, and that is posted for the listening audience. If you'd like to see the interview that Steve gave me, we captured it on video, George did, and it can be seen at thesecrettruth.com, and I believe it's also archived on greencity.com.
You know, that that video, I uploaded it to YouTube, and they sat on the audio portion of it. I never could get a an audio of it that was distinguishable, hardly.
Until we got it on Google, right?
Well, neither one gave us a legitimate audio track on that.
But we have it now.
Yeah, so what we had to do, Steve, was we had to put it on our own site.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. No problem.
But they stepped on our audio, both Google and YouTube, and it was almost indistinguishable. You could hear it, but it was at a real, real low level.
Yeah.
And there was some static.
So, and in the background was something that went do-do-do-do-do like that. Have you been getting a lot of resistance to trying to get this story out over the last year?
Yeah, we've run into actually some of the witnesses that was closer than myself has gotten threatening calls and letters. I've seen the letters, and they did look pretty compelling. So I haven't personally, you know, nobody told me to be quiet or not say anything or whatever, but several of them had some unusual phone calls, I guess you could say.
Well, Steve, you actually were on Larry King Live and Fox News, is that right?
Correct. Larry King Live and O'Reilly Factor had me on there. And they did a follow-up on it after the government released that there was, in fact, 10 F-16s in the area. And a lot more has come out since then. Two people by the name of Robert Powell and Glenn Schultz did a radar analysis. And through the Freedom of Information Act, got all the radar sendings for that general time frame and compiled them. Well, there was like 25 million pieces of bits of radar returns that they had to put together. And, in fact, they did see the jet chasing something that was running from 27 miles an hour up to 1,800 miles an hour, I think, you know, if I'm correct there. But so that that was a little bit more of, you know, that there was something in the area.
Was it seen over a wide area of Texas, like from the Glen Rose area all the way up to Brownwood? Would that be a good swath of the area that it was seen at by, what, well over 100 people or what?
Oh, yes. I've talked to well over 100 people, and there was probably 200 or 300 at the MUFON meeting that actually attended that showed, you know, that they'd seen it. So,
okay.
Yeah, it covered a big area, and if you'll watch it a day or two ahead of time and before, it's seen all the way from Austin, San Antonio, Corpus.
Okay, we've got to take a break. We'll be back in 3 minutes and continue the conversation. This is getting interesting. Thank you very much. Welcome back to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler, along with
Charlotte Littlefield. Welcome back, Steve Allen.
Hey, how's it going, George? Charlotte?
You're an experienced pilot. Is this true?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I've been, started taking, lessons at Stephenville, as a matter of fact, in 1977.
So you've been flying, what, small planes for how long now?
Well, put the math to it, probably 30 plus.
So you have some experience in the air, and you were standing on a friend of yours' property the day that that you spotted this this large craft.
Right, correct. Little town called Selden, which is about 4 miles east of Stephenville.
Charlotte and I went out there and drove around and saw the place where y'all were standing.
Yeah, it was. I've always called it the best seat in the house because it kind of had a outlook on all. You know, 360 degrees all the way around you.
Yeah, yeah. If y'all were looking north, then off to the right was Glen Rose. Is that correct? And then to the left is Selden, and then, what, Stephenville further out to the northwest. Is that correct? Something
correct.
Like that?
Stephenville's northwest and Glen Rose northeast, and that's where it originally started coming from that
so
area.
So it was coming from your right to your left, and was it over Glen Rose, or was it closer to you than Glen Rose, or how did it come through? What track did it follow going over to Stephenville?
That was about the heading and course of it. Of course, we couldn't see that far. That's a, you know, pretty good distance there. But we saw it 10 miles east of Stephenville, and then it stopped directly over Stephenville. So that was the course and heading. But,
go ahead, sir.
You didn't have to be a pilot to see this. You know, everybody, you know.
Now, the size of this, it's so humongously large. Is that, what would you estimate the size of this craft to be?
I've always said it was about a half a mile wide and probably a mile long. And that may be conservative. You know, others said it was bigger, but I could size it up with the fields and things like that, you know, crossroads, kind of get a distance and a, you know, see how big it was.
You know, Steve, there, I ran into a gentleman in the bookstore this evening. His father lives up in the Stephenville area, and he said about a week after the major incident that you're describing, his father had seen something. Have there been reported sightings? These sightings, are they continuing?
Yeah, it seems to be they'll run. Actually, it was just almost every night there for a week or two during July and August, and then the last sighting has been late October, so it's kind of dried up or disappeared.
You're saying sightings now. I've noticed that in the news, they're taking some of these squiggly lights, and they're trying to discredit the overall Stephenville sightings with people that say, well, you could make that with a you know, focusing on a star and then jiggling the video or something like that. Is this what you're seeing come out in some of the press?
Yeah, they've tried that a lot, but nobody's ever been able to duplicate that one. I happen to have been privileged enough to see the original, and the light is moving, and you can see the horizon and a house and also some trees, and all that stays perfectly still while this what we call the sky snake or a dancing light or hieroglyphics or whatever.
You know what I want to call it, Steve? I want to call it the rainbow serpent.
It's very beautiful, whatever it is, and we all feel like it's trying to say something or tell something. You know, we're signalless for something, but, you know, who knows what it is.
We're going to be calling out the big guns at the top of the second hour from the West Coast. Dr. Fred Bell is going to join us, and he is an authority in this area. And I think the discussion between the four of us, I think it's going to get even more exciting because he'll inject some he has about 40 years of experience in this area.
So, Steve, how has this affected your life? Can you just describe how your year has been? Has it affected your health, your outlook? How has this affected you, Steve?
At first, it definitely had an effect on me. I lost a lot of sleep over it. It started the first night. I went home and went to bed for an hour or two and woke up, and I haven't been able to sleep real good since then. It's something that will be burnt and etched in your brain forever. You know, what you saw, you know it wasn't of this earth or, you know, something everybody sees every day, you know, a common occurrence. There's not much words to describe it. It was up close and personal. If it wasn't a shooting star way out over in the heavens somewhere or up in the outer space, it was close. So it just makes you a little uneasy.
Well, it's obviously there's something real happening. And are there other eyewitnesses that are, how are they, do you all know each other? How are you supporting each other and what's growing out of this?
Well, at the time it happened, none of us knew each other, but through this, we've come to know each other, you know, just through meetings and calling on the telephone, kind of a support group or a heads up or what's going on, you know, and it's kind of an ongoing thing since there's so many sightings. I guess in September it was sighted just like clockwork at 8 o'clock every night, and it caused a big stir. I believe CNN went back out there and tried to...
You know, just a second. What was sighted, the large craft or lights?
No, or the rainbow serpent?
Just a different set of lights.
Lights?
Yeah, it wasn't a so-called mothership. It was just unusual lights.
It's unusual lights, okay.
At low altitudes, as a matter of fact, it stopped the football game in Hyco, Texas one night, and that was reported on the front page of the local newspaper and all the people. It was during a play, and the refs was busy standing there looking up at it, and the play continued, and then all of a sudden they just stopped the game over it to watch whatever it was.
And where was this now that they stopped this game?
That's in Hyco, Texas.
Hyco. Is that south of Stephenville right in there?
Yeah, H-I-C-O. Uh-huh.
Okay, we went through
there.
Yeah.
It's on the front page of the newspaper. I'll see if I can get you a...
Oh, that would be great.
Or something.
So these sightings since January have been very frequent, and especially you're saying the lights, these squiggly lights, these...
I like to call them a rainbow serpent. They're beautiful. I don't care what anybody says. Steve, that particular footage that you guys have on the Stephenville lights, it's very beautiful. And, of course, you know, everybody is going to have to make up their own opinion and make up their own mind about what's happening, you know, in Texas in 2008, almost 2009. But there's obviously something going on. So how many where do you see this heading?
Well, we've sure asked for full disclosure, but I doubt if that's going to happen anytime soon. We just have to keep thinking that, but, it's become so evident and it's out there, you know, people's demanding an answer that we're all not a bunch of idiots, you know, just tell us what's going on.
This has gotten other people around the world in touch with you, is that right, Steve?
Yes, as far as China,
Well, let's talk about that when we come back. We got to brush up against another break, and we'll talk about how this is interfaced with the rest of the world right when we come back.
And I think you've been interviewed by some international news correspondents. We'll talk about that. Thank you. Do that. Welcome back to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler with Charlotte Littlefield Brown. Welcome back, Steve Allen.
Hey, good to
be here.
We've got
a caller on the line. Okay, we've got a caller on the line from California. Would you want to take a few calls in here?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, Dave from California, what is your question for Steve Allen?
Okay, I'm trying to get a mental image of what this thing looks like. I got that it's a half mile wide and a mile long, but is there a shape to it? And when you were observing it, did it black out the stars, you know, behind it, you know, or what exactly?
No, thanks for the question. It was four bright lights. It seemed to be attached to a triangle, or rectangle, I'm sorry. You know, half a mile wide and about a mile long. The lights was moving in unison. We actually couldn't see a craft, but it was very close to us and all moving rapidly, you know, from the east to the west. It wasn't dark yet. It was probably about 6:12, 6:15 in the afternoon, so we still had unlimited visibility. Several of the others did report, you know, it went through changes, and they did report seeing a craft themselves. Bob Hughes saw it. He's a retired Air Force navigation specialist, and he was within 300 foot of it over his head, and he saw the actual craft itself. But the angle we was at, it would seem just invisible, just all the lights traveling in unison, same altitude, same height.
Interesting. Is this the same object that was sighted over Dallas a few times? I don't know Texas too well.
It's hard to say. You know, what I call it goes through a metamorphosis. It changes as you're looking at it. It goes through a change. So to say it's the same one or in the same state, you know, it seems to not be the same anytime anybody sees it.
Huh.
Steve, when you're saying it goes through a metamorphosis, what type of changes are you seeing there? And this man that saw it 300 feet above him, what did he describe the actual craft of the surface to look like?
He said it looked silver for your last answer or question. Silver on the bottom, no rivets, no seams or ripples in it, very smooth. And then it had kind of a saucer shape under it, you know, in different areas, and just kind of a dull gray color. But like I said, there were several that seen it up close and real close, you know, within the 300-foot mark.
Can I jump in here? Steve, have you considered or anybody out there in the listening audience, you know, apparently a lot of the airliners today are something is seems to be depositing aluminum and bromium into our skies. There's various people tested different things. My thought is this. If it was holographic, if a plane had come through and dropped aluminum or barium, because there is no sound, could it have been an optical illusion of being tricked, of being pulled against us, pulled on us?
That would be a pretty far stretch. We've observed it from so far out in the distance and coming this way, and there was several sets of people that all reported it at the same time from different angles, you know, in several miles apart. So that would, and the skies was real clear. There was no air traffic in the area. We heard nothing before or after either one until it come back by with the F-16s chasing it. So.
Right. Steve, when it was coming back, did it come back behind you? Where first it came off, where it came across from the right to your left, from the east to the west, and then did it come back behind you when it came back through going to the east or the southeast?
Correct. I had to, you know, if I was standing there, I'd do 180 degrees and turn around and be looking behind me.
Would that be towards Crawford where the president lives or has a ranch?
Yeah, in that general vicinity, it kind of goes to the north side of it, but not by much, probably 20 miles north.
Killeen is down there. Is there a big Fort Hood is down there? Would that be in that area too?
Yeah, Fort Hood's a little further to the southeast. It's about 150 to 200 miles down there to the main part of it. That's a consideration. But
this thing is moving at either 27 miles an hour or 3,500. Is that right?
I don't know about the 3,500. I've heard some 1,800 and 1,900 miles an hour due to the radar reports. But my estimation was it was when I first saw it, it was moving in that, you know, that extreme range of 3,500 plus.
I mean, it just streaks across there, you're saying.
Unreal how fast and as low as it was, too. You know, I fly that area a lot, my little airplane, and from where it came from to where it got was very quick, very quick. It's hard to estimate when it when things happen that quick. I've never seen a UFO. First time I've seen it in 50 years. Probably never get to see it again, I hope.
Well, they said nothing's like seeing is believing, right?
Dave, exactly. You have another question there for us?
Sure thing. I got one more. Was there any physical evidence as it passed by, any shockwave, any sonic boom, anything that indicated that it was a solid object? Or
nothing. It was totally silent. But the second time it passed by, they had a double sound barrier break over at Hyco, Texas, and a couple of pilots reported that. And, you know, it's...
And now, this sound barrier, was it by the F-16s that broke the sound barrier?
Correct, yes. And
okay, so it was the chase planes that made the sound boom, right? Sorry about that.
Somebody had to authorize them excessive speed out of those F-16s.
Well, now, that's in violation of what FAA rules, even for the...
Yeah, they don't do that anymore. Used to, you know, you could hear sound barriers break all the time, but they've outlawed that or... made it against, you know, it's a violation. I'm not sure if it's outlawed, but
I mean, they can only do that with special authorization to really kick in those afterburners and stuff, right?
Yeah, somebody had to authorize that for sure.
That had to come from the top, you know?
Yeah, you can't do that, you know, because they was low. They was 1,500, 2,000 foot above the ground. So, you know, essentially it could rattle somebody's windows out of their house, I guess. You know, it was a double shockwave, you know, or a double sound barrier break.
Well, Dave, thank you for your questions out of California. We appreciate your calls. Boy, this is getting more interesting, isn't it? What's your question, Charlotte?
Well, I was going to say, Steve, has this, because once you've stepped forward as publicly as you have and others, did you start to get a feel of what's happening worldwide, globally, with this phenomenon?
That's right. You had some international journalists and broadcasters approach you and interview you, have you not?
Yes, they're very interested due to the sightings they're having in their region or wherever they're at. Seems like Brazil's a hot spot. Japan's sees them basically daily. You know, there's a lot of interest in the world. People are trying to, you know, it's obviously been covered up all this time. People are demanding the truth, you know, tell us what's going on.
I've seen videos out of South America, especially in the Brazil area, and Mexico had some that were the most unusual videos of objects in the sky.
Hundreds.
They almost had, like they were bubbles stacked up on top of each other and discs and all kinds of different phenomena.
Yeah, those in Mexico were very compelling. Some excellent pictures. Seems like there's a community or a town where it comes quite often, you know, and it's all kind of like a photographic adventure. Go down there and get a picture of it, you know.
Well, now Stephenville is becoming an area where they're visiting quite frequently. Is that right?
Yes. Like I said, there hasn't been seen since October, but it was very frequent all the way through the summertime.
Well, if they meant harm, I think they could have done harm by now. What are your thoughts on that?
That's what we've come to the decision of. You know, we lost a lot of sleep, but if they meant to harm us, it'd have been millions of years ago, probably.
They could tractor beam you up and say goodbye. Right.
Or you too, for that matter, George.
Yeah, that's right. we get funny things go bump in the dark sometimes when Jim Mars was cut off tonight. And Stephenville kind of he made. We'll be right back. Steve, thank you very much. It's getting very interesting. Day that won't come. Welcome back to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler, along with
Charlotte Littlefield Brown.
Steve Allen, we've got a message for you from Jim Mars.
I just was out inside the lobby of Brave New Books, and I talked to Jim Mars, and he said to say hello, and just wanted to say, make sure you knew about the radar information.
Great, yes. Oh, yeah. I've spent many hours trying to help with that radar to get it together, and we did tests in airplanes, and had a lot of fun putting it together, and thank goodness for the way it came out and the truth. You know, FAA's radar speaks for itself.
Well, Jim sent his hellos, and if he can, he's got quite a line of people waiting to speak to him. I had to cut up to the front to let him know that we'd like him to join us on the air briefly if he can. So if he can join us, he's going to.
We'll try to get him in on here around the second hour here, something like that, maybe. I hope so. Sometime during that second hour. That's why we're trying to expand this thing to the full 2 hours. Your conversations with the Japanese and these other foreign journalists, are there sightings like this in Japan, did you say?
The Japanese have the light that moves around in the sky, the sky snake or whatever you would like to call it.
Is it a rainbow?
That's Charlotte's rainbow circle.
Charlotte's rainbow, yes.
They
have that quite
often.
And they don't value that as anything. You know, they say, we see that all the time. We thought you had a mothership. And I said, well, we did at one point in time. Haven't seen it lately. But so the rainbow deal, they claim they see all the time. The Brazilians have a saucer-like objects that's close to the ground that scares all the peasants out there. You know, there's it's seen out in the country a lot. So, sightings all over the world. It seems to be on an increase.
And contactees coming forward. George and I haven't ventured into that area yet, but there are a lot of people stepping forward saying they've been...
I've been looking at this, Steve, for about 15 years myself. And, you know, talking to you up there in Glen Rose convinced me that there was something real that y'all saw. I mean, one of the friends that you saw this with, wasn't he a first grade friend of yours?
Well, correct. I've known him since the first grade, was 5 years old.
I mean, 5 years old, you know the man? I mean, yeah, these are real people. You're a real person. You're
honorable,
honest businessman there in Glen Rose. And I mean, there was something to it, but I mean, what is your best opinion or conclusions that you've sort of reached a little bit about this?
I don't think we know what it is. It's not a government object, we don't think, what all of us have come to the conclusion of. We wish we had one of those. It moves too quick. It cloaks itself, disappears. Why would our military jets be chasing it if it was one of ours? Why would they be testing it over our area, you know, if they had control of it? So. They're probably as apprehensive of it as we are because they don't know it, you know, what it is or have any control of it.
Now,
until there's some sort of contact, I think there'll be just tremendous speculation.
I once asked Dr. Fred Bell, he'll be joining us at the top of the second hour, about that Comanche power plant over there, that nuclear power plant. And he told me, he gave me an answer unlike anyone has ever stated, that he said that they were taking readings.
They being
whatever, you know, whoever in the mother craft or whatever. And they were looking at isotopes or elements or whatever and analyzing those to see how far along we are in manipulating space-time.
That's sure believable. They seem to have an infatuation with our nuclear facilities, whether it's missile launch facilities or nuclear power plants.
My question to Dr. Bell was that I thought they were trying to draw energy out of those. And he said, no, that's not what they're doing. They're looking at the isotopes and so forth given off by the plant and seeing what our ability to manipulate those elements is.
Oh, very interesting. Yeah, obviously they run on something besides pull up to the Technico and fill up, thank goodness.
Yeah.
Need to share that technology with us, you know, so we can...
I don't know if they need to share it with us now. We're kind of a warring...
Well, now, being in the trucking business, this biodiesel thing, does that have any capability or any kind of a potential for y'all?
Eventually, they may make something out of it. Right now, it doesn't affect us. I think it's a little bit too cost-effective for our business from the numbers I've seen. At least they're trying, you know, to develop some alternative fuel sources. That's the reason if we could get whatever these guys have going on and maybe just a little bit of it and help apply it to what we're doing or everybody's doing, it would sure help.
Ms. Joyner has quit her job at the Stephenville Dispatch or whatever, and she's out here now on her own doing investigations of the Stephenville lights. Is that correct?
Yeah, kind of. She didn't exactly quit. She came in one morning and they had seized her computer. And
Who seized her computer?
The people she worked for there at the Empire Tribune. It's the local Stephenville newspaper. They didn't want her working the story anymore. Seems like that newspaper's owned by several hundred, owned several hundred newspapers, whoever owns that one. Also involved in the Texas Tollway deal.
Oh, really?
Very, very twisted web out there from some reason.
Was that newspaper supporting the toll road? Was it supporting toll roads?
Yeah, the owner, the people that own that newspaper also own 100 newspapers, and they was involved in the toll road somehow.
Well, I know there were some newspapers that were supporting this North American corridor, you know, Trans-Texas corridor, and the word was out was they were going to mobilize all these small newspapers and all, along that where those corridors were going to support all that.
Yes, yeah. They told her she was spending too much time on it. Originally, they said to go for the story, and it had its twists and turns for 30 days or so, and then all of a sudden they said, you quit talking to people about this and be quiet, and came in the next morning, and they was in her office and seized her computer, and basically she doesn't work there anymore.
My gosh.
Very, very strange.
But she's been very productive. I've seen her out on the web in various places, visiting at various conferences, and, of course, the StephenvilleLights.com website. I saw some articles from her there.
Was there a Washington, D.C. conference recently that you and her attended, or was that just Ms. Joyner?
That was just Angela. Also, she went to the San Jose meeting out there, national conference. And people are coming from all over the world. It's, you know, it's finally coming forward, I think.
Yeah, well, something, there's just too many lights in the sky. Too many people are seeing various things. Unfortunately, I personally haven't witnessed anything yet.
You know, Art Bell, who launched that Art Bell show, and it's Coast to Coast now. Did you appear on that at all?
Yes, I've been on there several times, as a matter of fact.
George Norrie, is that right? George Norrie?
Exactly.
Okay. What did he seem to think about your sightings and your first person witnesses witness accounts?
He thinks it's very believable what I saw and everything, especially with so many in the community seeing it. Of course, he talks to people all over the world. I'm just one of the small cogs in the puzzle, I guess, for him. Very compelling people calling with other stories and things that's going on all over, but he was very interested in what happened in Stephenville and did quite a few interviews with some of the people around there, I believe.
Yeah, he's sort of a clearinghouse.
Why Stephenville? What is unusual about that area? Was it why there?
It's the dairy cows.
yeah.
No, dairy country, right?
Strange that that's what the Japanese say. And, you know, we ask the Japanese, why do you think they come to this area? And they say, oh, they like milk. You didn't know? And, no, we don't know.
got say, milk, oh, right?
dairy products and milk. And because they didn't even know, when the Japanese got here, they didn't know this was the most milk-producing county in Texas. So.
Oh, it is. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So whether that comes into play or not, another speculation, but they seem to know what they're talking about. I guess if you've been in business for 5,000 years, you're probably about to get a handle on things.
Well, I guess so. We're going to take another break, and then we're going to come back here at the top of the hour. We have about a 6 to 8 minute break at the top of the hour. So if you need to take care of business, go ahead, and we'll be back at the beginning about 6 minutes after the hour. And we'll continue the conversation, and we'll be joined by Dr. Fred Bell at that time. Thank you very much for being with us, Steve.
Thank you.